Good morning. You know, when I was preparing, I was actually thinking about what Kobus brought, our Pastor Kobus, 2 weeks back, and he was talking about the different generations. He also talked about the unchurched and then the post-churched. And then he asked the question, what is the church doing about not losing the next generation? Now, of course, this got me thinking immediately. My mind just went tick-tick-tick. So, when Kobus asked me to brought the word, as per normal, I would spend some time and just listen to what God is saying. And then I start writing things down, and then by Friday, I'm quite confident what I should say, and then on Saturday, God gives me the actual word. So this is how it is. So just to make sure that I don't speak my own mind in front, God is always surprising me. Now, I want to start off by saying, and this is important to know, that in today's world, normal evangelism is not going to work. And I'm going to explain and I'm going to unpack this, but I want you to just have that in the back of your mind while we are talking. Normal evangelism, like it was done from the beginning, it's kind of obsolete right now. Now, when I say this, I'm not saying that God is not working through that. I'm not saying that. God can save people to the tune of Sare Mare if he wants to do it. You know, I'm not going to put God in a box and say, oh, it's gone. So, but now more than ever before, it's essential that we rely on the Spirit of God to lead us. It's essential. We need to hear what it is that God is saying to us in this time, today. That's why the word in a few places would say, today if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts. Today when you hear my voice. And then the word also says, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit. So we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. So my feeling is just, you know, and I'm going to take the liberty because I'm speaking to family. My feeling is just the world has grown tired of religion, tired of the church doing things the way they used to do it. And they're just tired of religion. The world is sick and tired of religion. And people that just want to sound so much more important, they're actually mixing the truth with self-importance. And when they speak, the only thing that is coming through is it's like this almost puffed up personality. And that is not what God wants. You know, this time that we are living in, this kairos that we are living in, is a time set out by God. This is the time that we are living in. It's a kairos moment, a time where God is calling us to obedience. And if we miss this one, we'll just be circulated back into this whole thing. And who knows how long it will take before we come to this time. You know, Monday when we were at the prayer meeting, one of the brothers says, this drought is not just a natural thing. This is a spiritual thing. And we need to hear what it is that God is saying to us in this time. So, my question, if we are the church, what is it that we are serving the world at our banquet table. What are we serving the world? The church is the body of Christ. As my wife just said, the church is the body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we need to be His feet, His hands, His voice, His ears, moving, representing, manifesting His presence, His person, His nature. I want to read something, and this is something that we all know. This is going to be my key scripture for this morning. So if you can, if your Bible's here, please turn to Matthew 5 from verse 16. Or let's make it 13. Matthew 5, 13. I'm reading from the New King James Version. It says, "Blessed, okay, you are the salt of the earth." Now I want you to listen attentively to what these words are saying. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. I'm going to read it again. I want you to listen to this. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. What Jesus is saying is, if we are the salt of the earth, but we lose our flavor, if we lose our relevance, our authority, our impact, then how can we be of any use? How can we be of any use? If we lose our salt flavor, the power of His presence becomes lost. Which means we become lost. We become lost in the crowd. And we have no relevance to our existence. We just live. We just exist. We need to ask ourselves, if we are the salt of the earth, why is the world hurting? Why are they looking for alternative options to the flavor that we are supposed to give? In this season, God is bringing us to an understanding of His truth. And if we submit to this truth, God will accelerate His purposes in this world. There need to be a connection with truth. There need to be a connection with truth. It's only then when God starts accelerating things. Otherwise, it's like just existing, living, and we're waiting for something to happen, but it will never happen because we're just existing. When Jesus was at the wedding feast, His mother came to Him and said, "My son, Jesus, the wine ran out." And He said, "But woman, this is not my time." But she, as mothers normally do, didn't really pay attention to what He had to say. She went to the servants and said, "Whatever this man says, tells you to do, do it." And what it said was, take all of these crates or vats and fill it up with water. And by the time they started serving, it was wine. Now you should know that wine takes a process, few, definitely more than a day, if I'm right, Heather. More than a day. More than a few weeks. Wine takes a long time to get to the final result. But Mary connected to the truth and accelerated Jesus into a miracle. And even the wine was accelerated to a time that was set out long before it became now. So, I'm talking about salt this morning. And when Jesus came to his disciples, you know, when he was sitting on this mountain and he was talking to the people that was listening, more specifically to his disciples, he said, "You are the salt of the earth." And for the disciples, they instinctively knew, being Jews, what Jesus meant. And I want to unpack that a little bit, and then we will have a much better understanding. So salt is symbolic and represents the covenant between God and His chosen generation. Us. His chosen generation. That's the church. So salt is a symbol of that covenant. Now, before I continue, let me read a scripture just to bring you a better understanding of what I'm trying to say. It's a scripture in Exodus 19:3-6. You can just listen. It says here, "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, 'Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and now, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself.'" What did he do? I brought you to myself. "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure." That special treasure translated in the King James Version as "a peculiar treasure." "So you'll be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." Now let's go to 1 Peter 2 verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people." Once again, that word peculiar comes in. "That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." So, we've got two scenarios here now. We've got, we are the salt of the earth, but there's also this covenant where we were brought into kingship and in a priesthood. And our forerunner, the pattern son, being Jesus, being a king and a priest, as the Bible say, in the order of Melchizedek. Right? I really want you to hear what I'm saying this morning, because all of this is intertwined. So we have these two scenarios. And God is saying that I've chosen you. I've brought you to myself. You're not just going to be, I just don't want you to be, like Beulah said, pew homers. You're a chosen generation. You're a chosen generation. And you will be kings and priests. It's important to know that. Now, I want to bring this all into perspective. When Jesus said this, "You are the salt," the disciples immediately knew, instinctively knew, because they knew the law. They knew the Old Testament, the law. And I'm going to read you a few scriptures that will bring clarity to what I'm saying. And first, the first one I want to read says in Leviticus 2:13. Leviticus 2:13. "And every offering of your grain offerings, you shall season with salt." Have you ever read that before? "And every offering of your grain offering, you shall season with salt. You shall not allow the salt of the covenant of your God to be lacking from your grain offering. With all your offerings, you shall offer salt." The offering was to be seasoned with salt, and thus identify as the salt of the covenant. But now let's go to the next one in Numbers. And here God is speaking to Aaron. He's a priest. He's a Levite. He's a priest. And his sons, all priests. Now he's speaking to Aaron. He's saying in Numbers 18:19, he says this: "All the heave offerings of the holy things which the children of Israel offer to the Lord, I have given to you and your sons and daughters with all with you as an ordinance forever. It is a covenant of salt forever before the Lord with you and your descendants with you." Now you'll understand that is a priestly covenant. Remember the scripture I read? We are chosen generation. We are called to be kings and priests. He says there, this will be a salt, a covenant of salt forever. And forever means forever. There's no end to it. Priestly covenant. 2 Chronicles 13:5 said, "Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt?" Kingly covenant. So we're bringing all of this together. When Jesus told his disciples that you are the salt of the earth, what he was saying is that I brought you to myself. That's reconciliation. Remember what Jesus said? Reconciling all men to himself. I brought you to myself. And if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, that's obedience, then you shall be a peculiar people to me above all people, a chosen generation. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That is the Word becoming flesh. That is our accurate representation of Christ. Are we getting this? Jesus was called the Son of David. So he was the king. We honor him, we praise him, we worship him. He's the King of Kings. He also became our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, who was a priest and king forever. There's no end to this. It's forever. And this made him the forerunner of who we are in the earth today. The body of Christ, the church, are here to be an accurate representation of who Christ is. So we are Christ in the earth. And what he said was, you are the salt. He was referring to himself. Because Jesus was and is the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its flavor, it is good for nothing. We need to get this. If salt loses its flavor, it's good for nothing. It has no power and no influence. And salt without flavor or strength are thrown out and is trampled underfoot by men. Being trampled underfoot by men is being belittled. Being trampled underfoot by men is being enslaved to a worldly system thinking. But good salt, it preserves, it seasons, and it keeps from decay. This is what salt was used for in that time. It seasons, it preserves, and it keeps from decay. Good salt cleanses, purifies, and heals. So when Jesus said to them, "You are the salt of the earth," what you are saying is, you are the preservatives of the earth. You keep it from decaying. You purify it and you heal it. You are the salt of the earth. You keep it from decaying. You purify it and you heal it. And without you, evil will take over. If you don't take your place as the salt of the earth, you're leaving the door wide open for evil to sweep over. And then we can't stand there blaming others. The buck stops here. Our lives must be drenched with the flavor of salt. We need to be salty. But this next bit is important. When we go into the world, that salt flavor must come out in the right amounts. Must come out in the right amounts. Too little. Now, this is where people that can make food will know this. Too little, it will have no effect. And too much, it will spoil the taste. So salt must come out of us in the right amounts. Because salt also represents the wisdom of the Holy Spirit. In Colossians 4 verse 6 it says, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Oh, come on. I'm going to give myself a... This is amazing. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. For people to receive our message, it must be in the right spirit and approach. Our nature must be seasoned with salt. This is the nature of the pattern Son Jesus. This is when we start manifesting Him. This is when we are a demonstration of who He is in the earth. We will be able to answer any man, no matter their standing, who they are, what they believe or their level of revelation. Remember what I said in the beginning. This whole word came about when Quibus was talking about the different generation. And especially was making a, you referred to the non-church and the post-church. And I was thinking, how will we ever get to a point where we will be able to reach these guys? Because these are not people that don't know the Bible. They know the Word of God. Some of the people walking around out there know the Word of God better than us. In Isaiah 11 verse 2 it says, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. If this word becomes flesh in our lives, then our salt flavor will have the power to melt the icy hearts of men. Did you know in snowy countries they use salt to melt ice? I didn't know that. They use salt to melt ice. Especially when they want to clear the road, they throw salt on it and it melts. Salt has the power to melt the icy hearts of men. The Hebrew word for salt, the Hebrew word is melach, and I hope I pronounce it right. M-E-L-A-C-H. Melach. And it comes from the root meaning to rub to pieces, to pulverize, and to disappear as dust, to dissolve. This is salt. The root meaning in Hebrew. It's to rub to pieces, to pulverize, to disappear as dust, and to dissolve. When salt is used, it disappears. It gets dissolved into the food. Salt used in the right measure adds the perfect taste to food. You cannot see it any longer. But you know it is there because you can taste it. That's why David in the Psalms would say, come taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see. But the salt itself disappears when you use it. And thus speak of a faceless, covenantal people. They don't look for any acknowledgement or recognition. We are just a salt in the earth. And we represent Christ. And when people say, wow, well done, our lives point back to Him. We don't look for the recognition. We don't want to be acknowledged. We stay faceless because we're representing someone higher than us. Salt is only identified in its collective. One grain of salt, you don't even know it's salt. If it's just lying there, you don't even see it. It's not recognizable in its own. It's in the collective that salt becomes powerful, effective, and relevant. And this is once again referring to the body of Christ. Bone finding its bone. Our salt flavor must be experienced by those who are burned out on religion, those who are hurting, and those that don't know God yet. Only then will we be able to save the next generation. This is salt. And so now, when you hear the scripture, there's much more that we can add to this. If you hear the scripture, I hope you have a better insight. I hope you will live out this word. And I really want to release unto you a teachable spirit. Teachable spirit. You know that song that we sang? This is the air I breathe. Your very presence. And then he says, I'm lost without you. Oh. If you come to that realization, if you come to that revelation, that we are lost without him. We are lost without him. It is his presence that we are breathing. That is what we hunger for. Then the salt flavor will touch this earth. And we will be accelerated into a time. We're living in the Kairos moment. And the desire of my heart is that we will step out into it in obedience. Amen. Let's stand up. Hallelujah. Father, seal this word to our heart. Seal this word to our hearts, Father. We come against anything, Father, that wants to interfere with your word. And we cast it down in the name of Jesus. That we speak, Father, a release of your word to each one that hear. That hearts will not be hardened, but we will submit, Father, and surrender to the working of your Holy Spirit. I declare release this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.